Welcome to Skin in the Game. I'm Tim O'Shea, and John Semperman and I have a great episode for you. I'm not sure when you might be listening to this, but this interview that we're about to share with you was recorded just before a very exciting NFL season for the Buffalo Bills. And that is not just because of Josh Allen's arm and Super Bowl hopes and all the football things that we can always get excited about. The Bills have a brand new, shiny, state-of-the-art stadium that costs just over $2 billion. And when that stadium opens, all eyes will be trained on Buffalo. But what did it take to get here? I was lucky enough to be on the inside of this story for a few years, covering the stadium negotiations when I was a sports business journalist at the Buffalo News. There's a whole story behind how this stadium came to be. Now that the stadium's opening, we're going to start hearing more and more of it. We're going to welcome in Bill Maggio and Jordan Levy. Bill Maggio is the managing partner of Lorraine Capital, and Jordan Levy is the managing partner of Seed Capital. You look them up, that's what you're going to see they do. What they are in reality, though, are two wealthy, influential, well-connected businessmen, both from Buffalo, who served on an unofficial committee supporting Ron Rakuya and the Buffalo Bills and their negotiations. Some things you need to know. The big players in the stadium negotiations came from four corners. Okay. One, of course, was the Buffalo Bills, Terry Pegula, Ken Pegula, and their chief operating officer, Ron Rakuya. Then, of course, you had New York State, led by Governor Kathy Hochul. You had Erie County, led by Erie County Executive Mark Poelenkars. And, of course, the National Football League and Commissioner Roger Goodell. There were a lot of people behind the scenes who helped build the relationships, sometimes mend the relationships, and bridge the gaps between these people. A lot of things needed to go right. The state and the county needed to contribute a significant amount of money. The Bills needed to, let's say, accommodate the political realities that the county and especially the state had to deal with. And the National Football League had to be supportive of this entire process. That includes Commissioner Roger Goodell, but it also includes the other NFL owners, too. The way it happened had some drama. It had some near breaking points. It also comes with some second guessing and some regrets after the fact. We're going to get into all of that. Bill and Jordan are also going to speak with us about what they think Western New York needs to do to capitalize on the momentum that comes with this new stadium, which is not in the city of Buffalo. It's 20 minutes away in the suburb of Orchard Park. We all have opinions on that, especially those two. Welcome to Skin in the Game, Bill Maggio, Jordan Levy. Thank you for joining us.
Our pleasure.
Glad to be here.
All right. So John and I both live by the subject of our discussion today, which is the Buffalo Bills' new stadium. And I know you've got opinions on it, John. And Jordy, I know you do. And Bill, I know you do, too. So I might be the moderator between all of you here. But here's what we're hoping to accomplish today. We want to give people out there listening and watching a vivid sense of what a negotiation actually looks like. Typically, what you hear publicly is one side wanted this, the other side wanted that. They fought back and forth. It stalled. It froze. It warmed up. They finally reached a deal. But there's real people and real relationships behind that. And you two are two of those people and people who help get things moving. So we're going to do that. But also, I want to see what you think of this project now. $2+ billion into the project. You guys helped make it happen, and so we're going to want to know what you're thinking about it. So that's where we're headed. But let's start with this. How did you both get involved in these talks back when they were happening?
We were asked. I mean, I think what the family was looking to accomplish, the family being the Pegulas, was looking to find people in the community who were, I think, invested in the community from multiple perspectives to support them in convincing the state that this was a wise and appropriate investment for them to make. So we agreed to do it, as we often do, because we love this city and we believe in its future. I don't want to speak for you, my friend, but we're a little bit concerned about some of the stuff that's going on right now. But I think that's initially how it happened.
I was on the original stadium Commissioner Cuomo started. That was sort of a joke. So that when this came around this time to actually do a stadium, I think that Ron Rakuya really should take a lot of kudos for what he accomplished and what he did. And he put together a small group of us to try to help move this process forward. It was the publisher of the news, Tony Masiello, Bill, myself. There was one other person. John Dandies, I think, was there also. Renee it was Jones, a small maybe? Group. You know, honestly, Ron Ricuya is the one who engaged me. I assume the same thing with you to help.
Yeah. So this would have been 2018?
No, well, this was 2021.
The Cuomo group was more
the
like
The Cuomo group was, and that was a joke. We met once. We had
That was pre-COVID.
And I remember it was like being at like the United Nations. I mean, there must have been 30 people at the table, huge table. Chuck Schumer was there. He was in, you know, everybody was involved. And I don't know. I think it was a move by Andrew to try to say that he was going to do something. And it was a way to stall it because he did stall it. He was great to Buffalo. So the Buffalo Billion and a lot of the stuff that Bill and I have been involved in as a result of his Buffalo Billion initiative. But on this one, I think he slow played it.
Yeah, it sounds like a big kind of catalyst or turning point was when Kathy Hochul took over the seat. Did that add some gasoline to the fire to get the conversations going or no?
I think just to support herself, knowing that the Bills are the biggest brand in Buffalo, I think she started it. I mean, like, she was like, we're going to do something about the stadium. I mean, she really got behind it because she was trying to woo over the community, right? So, you know, she really, really engaged the community and the thought process around building a new stadium.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I might maybe not completely agree. Well, the Pegulas wanted to build a stadium. They knew they had to. I think there was the county executive put some fear into people that the stadium was going to fall down.
7 years. It had 7 years left.
I don't know if it was true or not true, but Mark Poloncarz certainly created a aura that the stadium was going to fall down.
Can I jump in and correct?
He put in his book that he saved the stadium back in 2014, which is a reason I think we didn't build a new stadium back then, correct?
I will jump in with one clarification, Jordy, because I played a role by the position I was in. So we're talking summer of 2021. I was at the Buffalo News. I was assigned to cover the Buffalo Bills stadium negotiations that were just about to begin. The Bills hosted a couple of us from the news, three of us, at the stadium to give us a tour and explain to us why it was falling apart. We'd have to ask Mark Poloncarz this. I recall that he wasn't thrilled about the story.
Well, I'm sure.
That storyline was out there, but I think it was the Bills who were actually pushing it at first.
I always like to know why stadiums like what was Rich Stadium falls apart, but Fenway Park, Wrigley Field, Lambeau Field, these iconic institutions, no one ever talks about them falling apart.
Correct.
Was it the years that they were built? Was it more shoddy construction or not?
I guess we never really define what falling apart means, right? Is it economic? I mean, who knows, you know? But I can tell you, and I don't want to speak for Jordy, but I could tell you, that was a big component of the discussion was the fact that the stadium was really in bad shape.
Well, I think it was in bad shape because it didn't have all the new premium seating.
Well, of course.
It didn't have all the new social gathering areas, which are really popular. It didn't have a lot of the bells and whistles that AT&T Stadium has.
Apples to bowling balls, my friend. The new stadium to the old stadium in terms of, you know, the economic potential.
Yeah, recall the line at the time being, if you try to renovate it, it's going to cost, you know, meaning I'm not sure how much, but we're talking like a billion or more, or you could just build, you know, spend a little more and build a new stadium. And I'm oversimplifying the argument, but that's, you know, because I asked John that exact question, and that was essentially the response that came back.
Yeah, and that just for reference, that's recently was the whole dialogue in Cleveland, Ohio, with the Browns.
Right.
And by the way, the Browns stadium, Huntington Field, is only, and I say only because, you know, it's 25, 30 years old, and they've deemed that obsolete.
Well, we have that with our arena. Yeah. I mean, our arena is exactly 30 years old, and it's already obsolete. Yeah. But I think there was also a lot of pressure from the league as well. Besides, you know, all these other factors, there was pressure from the league that we needed to upgrade. And since there were so many opportunities for expansion, like either we're going to do something or, you know, they're going to start looking at other options because it's about revenue and it's about modernization. And we're obviously one of the two smallest markets in the NFL. And if we can't be competitive from that perspective, you know, then they have to look at it. And I think the commissioner has historically been extremely loyal to Buffalo.
He's very supportive.
And I think most of the owners, I mean, I have a bunch of friends that own teams, and they would always tell me, like, you know, like, it's the worst stadium. It's old. It's antiquated. It's a terrible market. And most passionate fans in the NFL. But, like, you know, we don't really care if the team stays there, doesn't stay there. You know, it's not like it's Green Bay. Green Bay has something that is never going to change. And the rest of the league, you know, it's mobile. And
I think that's a good point. I think having the commissioner on our side, I think, was really, really important.
Yeah.
I think I brought a certain degree of comfort in the negotiation for the Pegula family, knowing that they had his support. But back to the renovation expense, though. I mean, you look at what they put in M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. I think they put almost $750 million just to renovate that stadium.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Recently.
Well, even.
So it's not cheap.
No, it's not. I mean, you look at the new arenas, and we had Len Komorowski from the Cavaliers on the show last month. They put more money into the renovations of that arena than what it cost to originally build it. At some point down the road, we'll have a separate
conversation
about the arena and Cobblestone.
Yeah, right.
Because that's the same fate that they're facing.
Exactly. Right?
They put more
exactly.
into it than what it cost to build
yeah.
it.
Yeah. On that threat or potential, how real was that with other markets, i.e. Austin, Texas, or others, at looking at relocation of the Bills?
Well, I mean, they certainly positioned it as a real threat, no doubt. I mean, both privately and publicly. It was something we discussed often in our discussions. We discussed locations, you know, where they could potentially go. It seemed logical at the time. I mean, Jordy and I have the privilege of knowing really how strongly the commissioner feels about the Bills, so we were always somewhat comfortable. It would be a really, really hard thing to see the NFL let happen, but it was a serious point that we were often forced to have to consider.
Here's some inside baseball. Terry committed to the commissioner and the league that he would not do anything to have this team move until January 1st of 2022. He made a commitment, and he stuck by that commitment. Mm-hmm. And he was very clear to us and to his team that we're not looking anywhere else and we're not going to go anywhere else. I remember when we were playing Tampa that season, it was in the November, I think it was. And I suggested that we should fly to Orlando. Orlando was one of the places that the team could have gone. I think most of the likely candidates are not really where people think it was going to go.
Yeah.
I'll give you my opinion if you care. But Orlando was one of them. And I said, why don't we go to Orlando, drop the plane, you know, and make sure that we leak the story that we're going there to look at the facilities that Disney would provide.
I remember that.
And Ron said that Terry will not permit us to do anything. He gave the commissioner his word that he will put 100% of his energy towards getting a deal done to stay in Buffalo and will not allow us to go on any field trips. He was committed, let's get this done by December 31, and he's keeping this team in Buffalo. And if that doesn't happen, then we can start talking about the options.
Yeah. So read that however you want, right?
So we didn't look anywhere.
At the end of the day, I don't think there was any real threat.
Right. That's and if it was opinion. Going anywhere, it was going to Chicago.
Yeah, we talked a lot about Chicago because that was real. There is the possibility there could be not one but two teams in that market, and it seemed real.
Well, ironically, now it might have been the only team in Chicago as the Bears looked to Indiana.
Indiana, yeah.
But think about it, though, right? I mean, if you fast forward that reality to, let's just say, we're starting a negotiation now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing that people got to understand, and this is where, you know, like, people want to know why we spend all this money, the state, all this stuff. They could have gone to any of a number of places and not had to put up one penny.
Yeah.
They had a free stadium.
Yeah.
Free stadium wherever they wanted to go instead of writing checks. And he was 100% committed to keeping this team in Buffalo, even at his own expense.
Yeah. Not to factor, you know, what the potential move would mean in terms of accelerated valuation of the team. So he was making a sacrifice too. You know, and some people who are listening to this podcast may say the guy's a multi-billionaire. He didn't get there by not being smart.
Right.
And understanding how to you know, get the most out of his investments.
Yeah, well, I mean, and this is a misconception that, you know, I've seen as a journalist and that all three of you guys can relate to. People who have wealth at whatever level they are wealthy, but people who are rich don't get there by giving money away or by, you know, skipping the opportunity to, you know, to save money. So, yeah, in that context, Terry Pegula, Kim Pegula making a sacrifice, I think makes a lot of sense.
There are markets that would love to have that franchise. And that was something that was always in the back of our head. But we also had a counterbalance of understanding how important the team in Buffalo was to the league.
Mm-hmm. We're here with Bill Maggio and Jordan Levy. Jordy, you said, and I'm just going to go back to it here, you'd share your opinions on the team moving if we care to ask. So I'm asking, you might have answered, Chicago was
I think that Chicago was a real possibility. Orlando was obviously a possibility. I think everything else was just was media air. I don't think there was any honestly serious conversation about all these other places.
Remember,
that people
Jacksonville was in play at that time too. There was
Orlando. I was involved before when we sold the team. I was very involved with the Wilson, Russ Brandon particularly, mm-hmm. and deeply involved in the meetings and some of these meetings that we had. It was all just social media.
Bluster.
There was never any serious conversation other than Toronto, if in fact Rodgers and Bon Jovi, et cetera, had bought the team. That was one of their motives. But of the rest of the potential buyers, just wanted to have a team.
Right.
Buffalo, half these people were from New York, so if they got to be somewhere, they can be here in an hour on their Gulfstream.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Toronto never was ever in the equation. Not this second time. Maybe back when Jordy was involved early on with Russ and the Wilson family.
In 2014.
Yeah. I think that was a viable threat at the time.
If they bought the
given
team,
the economics of the team, so on and so forth.
Yeah,
but not this time around.
Yeah,
absolutely
yeah.
not.
So I'm sitting here with three Buffalo guys, right? I guess I'm the new guy to Western New York of this group, and I've been a part of a number of arena developments. And I guess, you know, Bill, I'll look to you. It just, from my perspective, it looks like we rushed into this decision. I always wonder why we didn't give this more nesting time. And I guess I'm talking about where the building is, and it just seems, and maybe it's that you just talked about 2022 deadline. Was that part of what really made us kind of rush into where we're at? Or do you think the timeline was fine?
I think all along, Terry's always wanted to build a new stadium. Mm-hmm. And I think he got impatient. And I think he put a lot of pressure on Rakuya to get a deal done. Had a new governor coming in. He was from Buffalo, and it was time. I don't know, as a business person, maybe he was reflecting back on when he bought the team and probably should have just pushed then, probably could have gotten a lot more from this day at that point. He had a lot more, he was buying the team, he was a Buffalo guy, he owned the Sabres, I'm going to keep the Bills here. He had a lot of momentum behind him, and maybe he was just thinking to himself, that was probably the time to do it. We're coming out of COVID, things were getting very, very challenging, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
I just feel like, he had had enough and he wanted a deal to get done, and he set the terms, and he had set the expectations. He wanted it built in Orchard Park. Building it in the city was not a priority to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they used every excuse. I mean, there was every reason to listen to the reasons that Orchard Park made sense.
They had consultants.
They had all sorts of presentations, all kinds of stuff.
Build on the waterfront. Yeah, we got to do this.
Having said that, we regret acquiescing to the decision. Okay, yeah. we bought. I drank the Kool-Aid. I'm sitting there. I'm listening to these guys. I'm listening to the concern. We kept saying, keep this in mind. We've mentioned a few times the January 1st, 2022.
Right.
The league wanted a commitment. The Pegulas wanted a commitment. The governor had just been appointed. She's up for election in 2022, and she wanted in her state of the state the budget to include this as part of what she was doing to revitalize. And so we had all these time pressures, and we were listening to the stories that downtown condemnation got, where are you going to, we don't even know where. There's a bunch of options that they looked at. None of them made sense. It would cost $500,000 to
a half. Eminent domain was a big issue.
Eminent domain
it would
is
take 10
factor.
Years to take down the houses in South Buffalo. We would
half
need to
a billion
take down
to $1 billion.
By then the
more.
Stadium would fall into the, all of it.
Right.
We listened to all these things and we said, okay, let's just, we don't want it. And then there's the poker game. Okay. If we don't do this, and do we risk that Mr. Pegula looks at other cities and we lose the Bills? And everybody wants to, be a great Monday morning quarterback, no pun intended, now. But at the time, you're forced to make decisions as individuals, as community representatives at the table. We did not have the courage to say this is a bad decision. It needs to be downtown. You know, you listen to the reasons. You know, there's eight games, maybe there's nine, maybe with preseason. Some cities have used their stadiums much more effectively. Miami's, where I live, is an amazing example of what they've done there. But the mistake goes back to UB. That was the one seminal decision that was made in the 60s that was the worst decision in the history of Buffalo, not putting the university downtown.
Imagine 30,000 students walk around Buffalo.
But
right
this should have been, would have been nice. But ultimately, how much of an economic impact it has, it's not going to make or break Buffalo. So we all acquiesced to this decision.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say rushed into it. You know, I remember I was in London with my wife, and we went to the Tottenham Stadium, which is essentially the Bills Stadium, right? And I was in that stadium, and I said to my wife, I said, I can't believe we're going to have something like this in Buffalo. And she looked at me, and she said, it's not going to be in Buffalo. Like, I had to remind myself, like, you know, like, it was so frustrating for me to realize it there. It just further emphasized the fact that we should have pushed harder.
Well, I drive by the stadium every now and then, and it's beautiful.
By the way, it is spectacular.
It's beautiful. It's state of the art. Could you just imagine?
No, I know.
If that was right in front of our skyline,
where though? Where
you
would
know,
you put
I
it, though?
Personally, and I was working down.
You can't even take the Skyway down. You know, where are you going to put it?
There was a lot of land, I thought, being assembled around the whole Perry Projects area. That was, at least you may know better than I, at least that was one place.
Takes a lot of land
identified.
To build a stadium.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we were sort of thinking the area, the land behind the HSBC data center that's across from the state, it's not big enough. Mm-hmm. It's not, the Montantes own a piece of it, the Senecas own a piece of it, the Buffalo News owned a piece, then Doug DeMette, right? It wasn't like so, and it wasn't enough land. And then you think about it, we have 16,000 people go to a Sabres game, and there's a lot of traffic. 70,000 people go into a stadium in there? There's all these things that have to be considered. And if we had done it downtown, which I would have loved in the end, wish we would have done, we would not have a stadium today.
I'm going to just pivot a little bit differently from where Jordy is, we should have just pushed it. We should have forced it. To me, we should have done more diligence, right? At the end of the day, when I think about building a stadium of that size, that magnitude, moving the 190 and tearing down houses and doing all the things you have to do, they presented a lot of data, traffic data, feds getting involved in a whole housing issue, and then moving the 190 and moving off ramps and all this stuff, and where are people going to park? And it just seemed like what was more important to us was to have a state-of-the-art facility for what is an amazing franchise that's really legitimately, with no traffic, 16 minutes from downtown Buffalo, and keeping the Bills here. I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, but I felt, you know, in my small role in this whole thing, I felt like that was the most important thing, keeping that franchise in Buffalo.
Sure, yeah.
Was unquestionably would have been at risk. I'm not saying because if we pushed for this, we didn't know. They wanted it out there. If we pushed hard and said no, you know, January 1 came around, I just don't know what would have happened. But, you know, look, as a business person, I think people unfortunately look at Terry Pegula as his billionaire, you know, so like he can just spend his money anyway, you know, he should just spend it. Like he's supposed to just do whatever, you know, the largesse. He's self-made, first of all. I mean, you know, he didn't have one penny. He made all this money himself. And from a business decision, I would have moved the team. You kidding me? I go to a city, I get a free stadium, brand new built, bigger market, better, you know, all the things that come with it. I would have done it. Like, I mean, like from a business perspective.
Sure.
We lose sight of the fact that Terry Pegula kept his team here because of his commitment to Buffalo, his love of this city, and his desire for the heritage of the Buffalo Bills, because it was a terrible business decision. And a good, really smart business guy that cared about the business side, this team would have been gone. And we need to keep remembering that. This hockey team, are you kidding me? The team loses $30 or $40 million a year. It's now worth, they say, over $1 billion. Yeah. So go and put up $1 billion to buy a
team. Think about an outside investor to come in and buy that team.
And lose $30 million a year. And with the salary cap going up, it's only going to lose more because there's no more revenue. So he's doing all this. And then people say he's a billionaire. Like, yeah, it's his money. He made it. He made every single dollar himself.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine downtown Buffalo without the Sabres.
Well, you know.
And it's been losing that kind of money for years.
You know,
and he remains committed. He doesn't complain about it. You don't hear one article about it.
Yeah.
And also, let's not lose sight of the fact that the governor also wanted the stadium downtown.
We are sitting with Bill Maggio, Jordan Levy, both longtime, highly successful businessmen from Buffalo. Jordy, I know you live out of town, but it feels like you're still, one, you're here a lot, and
people ask me where you're from. I will always be, and I am always going to be from Buffalo.
From Buffalo.
And I'll be buried here, too. We made that decision, so I'll be here forever.
We know it. And Bill, you've been here, you are here. But from the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, to New York State Governor Kathy Hochul, who, as we pointed out, is from Buffalo, Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz, the Pegulas, their top guy at the time, not any longer, but at the time, Ron Racuglia, who was leading the negotiations on behalf of the Bills. You have strong relationships with everybody we just mentioned. So during the negotiations, along with meeting with Ron, advising him, the meetings, you know, the cycle of meetings you've been talking about, in what ways did you use or leverage those relationships you had with other people? What kind of conversations were you involved in? Did you find yourself having to push or nudge or, you know, pull people in certain directions at points?
I would say that, you know, the positions that are understood today were the positions that we understood, and people were very firm in that. You know, you talk about the commissioner, his commitment and love for Buffalo and this franchise and this team and this brand. Jordy's right. It's not the Green Bay Packers, but the Bills are an important component of the AFC, and it's, you know, they're an important component of the legacy of the NFL. You know, Mark has his own, you know, the county executive feels like he has his own kind of legacy and supporting the Bills and making sure they stay here, which we don't need to get into. He's written his books and everything about that. You know, there was always alignment there. And I think the governor, she wanted the stadium in Buffalo. You know, and Ron and the Pegulas really dug in. I mean, they weren't showing, you know, they felt like they did their research. They brought the right consultants in. And, you know, so I know Jordy had a number of sidebars with the governor, and I had a couple of conversations. But, you know, I think the opinions that are known today about where they stood, those people that you just mentioned, have not changed.
I'll tell you what sort of happened. Ron Racuglia was the lead. You know, the interesting part of Mr. Pegula, he doesn't like the press. He hates to be in, you know this better than anybody. And his last press conference was the best example of why he doesn't like the press.
It's probably his last press conference.
And so Ron was in the lead the whole time. And somewhere along the way, this thing was moving forward. And Ron and the governor didn't get along with each other. I don't think there was a trust factor. And so they called me and asked me if I would be the middleman and see if I could bridge the gap, because I've known the governor, as Bill has, for, you know, 30 years. And I've known Ron since he was a kid as well, like I've known Bill since he was a kid. And I had the legacy of being involved when Russ and the Wilsons were there. So, okay, what can I—this was over New Year's. We're getting this close. I know, because it's very interesting. So I'm talking to the governor and I'm talking to Ron, and like I know where everybody's at, and I'm trying to bridge the difference. And at the time, they were convinced the stadium was going to cost $1.4 billion. That's 5 years ago. So trust me that my memory's not that good anymore. I'm an old man, but these are close. And I think that at the time, the league never was willing to do more than $150, $175 million into any one.
Those numbers are correct.
Stadium.
Right? Those are the numbers.
And she started off, the governor, they were like $500 million, I think it was.
Six.
Well, the county was 100. So let me, why don't you let me do this? Because she was 500 and the county was 100, 150 million. They were always coming up with a piece of it. The league was at 175, and that meant Terry was writing a pretty big check at $1.4 billion. He wasn't willing to write that check. So I knew where they wanted to be. I would tell you that the commissioner was probably the single biggest reason we got the deal done. Because every time we would hit a log jam for some reason, and I couldn't move the governor, or I couldn't move the Pegulas, we would call the commissioner, and he would be able to get a little bit more out of everybody. And he went up to 250, by the way, which was the most they've ever given to any one team in a loan for a stadium. And so we kept going back and forth. I remember this because my kids were going to our house in the Hamptons for New Year's, and my kids were there, and my daughter calls me, this is New Year's Eve, and they have COVID. can we fly to Long Island and take care of my grandchildren? I still love, we get on a plane and governor, you can't get on this plane. We're in the middle. She wanted to get it done by midnight.
Right.
She wanted to have it done. I got to get on a plane. I'm sorry. You know, and she's trying to talk me out of the plane. So we're going back and forth on this stuff. And I remember we got, Robert Majica was really involved. Bob Majica was the budget director for the state. He was there and involved pretty deeply with me. And we kept going back and forth. And eventually we got them, the state, to, I got her to 950 with polling cars in the county, I think at 150, I think it was, and she's at 800. And it was a variety of ways that we're getting there. It wasn't like writing a check. And then with the league at 250, okay, so now we're at, and Terry's only writing a check for $200 million, which is really where he wanted to be. And then she's like, I remember her saying, she started yelling at me, I can't go a dollar more, they'll kill me. I can't go a dollar more, they'll kill me. We went back and said, finally, I can't get any more. I'm just telling you, I can't get any more. But you have to agree that any increases are on you.
There's some negotiation on lease terms too, the length of the lease.
I'll tell you, I'll give you another interesting sidebar in a second, because that's important. But there was all kinds of other details, Bill. But we were more trying to get it financed, right? Mm-hmm. How we get it financed. And it was like, she says, every dollar over this, they got to cover. And they were pretty convinced it was going to be $1.4 billion.
That's a big deal.
They were pretty convinced. Yeah. So he said, I'm in, no problem, done. Because we pushed her as hard as we can at 950.
We never debated the cost of the stadium at the time, though.
They had a consultant. They knew they thought it was going to cost. I don't care. You know,
we didn't question it as
I you know. So it took took a few more days. Took a couple more days because I remember, you know, Robert was, you know, it was like getting it done and figuring out where this is coming from, Peter and Paul and so on and so forth. So I get a call in the middle of this, like probably on New Year's Day. I'm not going to say who called me and said, you know, I know you're in the middle of this. You know that the Sabres arena lease is up in 2028. Why don't we make this part of the deal that the governor's going to give him all this money, get a lease extension out of the Pegulas for the Sabres because there's a risk that they leave. And it was sort of like if you remember the scene from Animal House where the guy has the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. Yeah, remember with the girl that he's deciding what he, right? I'm sorry for anybody that's offended by this. It's the movie. And I'm sitting there saying, you know, I've been asked to be the trusted agent of both people. It'd be good for Buffalo, but not fair to the Pegulas if I bring it up. If I tell her that she could add this to this deal and for this kind of money, he's going to say, oh, yeah, we'll do a 10-year extension if that's what it takes. We're not leaving any. He loves the Sabres. He loves the Sabres more than the Bills, by the way. You know, I mean, he scouts hockey players, right? And I really went back and forth with myself, and I didn't want to tell anybody because if I told anybody, you know, if I told Bill, he'd say his community hand, you've got to do this, right? You know, because it's for Buffalo, it's the right thing. I decided not to discuss it. I didn't bring it up. Now it's a big issue, right? Because the lease is up. Nobody thought about it at the time, including the county executive or the mayor or anybody else. They should have thought about it at the time. But anyways, we got into it, but the commissioner played a huge role, and it was his commitment to Buffalo. Terry Pegula committed that if every dollar that's over, I'm going to be on for, which is now going to turn out to be, you know, we'll find out the final number, Bill. What do you think the final number is? 2.6, 2.7?
I think it'll be between 2.4 and $3 billion, probably.
And yeah. He's on the hook for that.
Yeah, well, they just announced the new stadium in Kansas City. Granted, it has a dome, but it's $3.1 billion. So, the numbers keep going north for sure.
So we got it done, and then we got all this pushback, you know, from the legislature, the governor got, because, like, why are you giving Buffalo all this money? And she put that to bed very quickly. Yeah. And that was, I think, you know, Liz Fine, who was her chief counsel, she was there. You know, they...
It never really was.
In New York, it was an issue. Then Post did a story, you know, all this stuff. And they just, it just creates air in Albany. The governor was like, we're doing this. It's over. It's done. And it got done. And, you know, it was.
I think in Kathy's defense, there was never a sense that she wasn't going to support this thing. She knows how important the Bills are to Buffalo. Everybody does. And I think she also understood how difficult it was to build something of that size, that scale in the city of Buffalo. I think she knew that too. But she was being a politician, and she was doing everything she could to make sure that we looked under every rock to assess whether it was possible or feasible.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to the idea of, you know, could the Bills move? So, I mean, just ticking it off here, you've got a commissioner who clearly wants the Bills in Buffalo. You've got, you know, Jordy, as you pointed out, you know, you've got friends around the country who are owners of NFL teams. They're fine with the Bills being in Buffalo. You've got a governor who is never going to let, and she, I mean, I'm paraphrasing a quote from her. I will not be the governor who let the Buffalo Bills leave. Mark Poloncarz has essentially said the same thing. I won't be the county executive who lets them leave. It sounds like Terry Pegula was not eager to, you know, go shopping around, at least in 2021, right? Which, you know, and it may be beyond. He seemed committed to Buffalo. And I know Kim Pegula was too. And, you know, they're a couple, but they're two different people. But I know Kim was very devoted to Buffalo, right? And grew up
deeply
here.
Involved.
Yeah.
So,
but it was Terry on the, by the way, it was, in spite of the fact that Kim was really running the Bills, Terry was making these
decisions.
Kim
was Ron's point person, right?
Ron reported to Kim, but Terry was making these decisions.
Yeah,
it was, he was making these, not her.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So your question,
the question is,
how real was the threat?
Yeah, I mean, just taking all that off, it doesn't seem like they were going anywhere.
I don't think that we were concerned about the threat at the time.
The thing that was always going through my head is these owners are very rarely do they agree on everything, you know, and all it would have taken was for this negotiation to be dragged out, and for one owner to say, you know, Terry, what are you doing, you know, and then it spirals, right? And then the negotiation gets harder. So while I never, ever envisioned the Bills leaving, and that's what all people would tell me, the Bills aren't going, they're not going anywhere. You look at the history of our city and some of the bonehead decisions we've made, it's always going to be in the back of your mind.
Well, we have a beautiful state-of-the-art stadium 16 miles from the city. That's not changing, at least for the next 40 years. I guess I wanted to segue to what's next, you know, and that right now, Bill, right now, Jordy, there's a lot of conversation about ancillary development around the stadium.
So that, though, I mean, have you guys done any research on any outs in that lease? I mean, does Terry have an out in that lease? I think that he does.
What out do you think there is?
I think if he pays a certain amount of money, he can get out.
I don't think
the lease.
So.
Yeah, I don't know if there is. Or
yeah,
isn't,
well, go back to something. It's in the lease, and it's something that Mark Poloncarz, the Erie County Executive, articulated back when when the MOU and the final deal, you know, which were a year apart, but you know, when both of those were finalized, at some point there's a big penalty that. That a team, an owner, and it may not be the Pegulas, but an owner who wanted to move the Bills.
I think it's $1 billion.
Take. Yeah.
Well, that's the state's money. That's it. They
have to.
What I'm saying is, though, you just can't assume they're here for 30 years no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, there is
an
out in that agreement.
Well, there's an interesting, this is something.
Someone writes a check for $1 billion, they can take it someplace
else. You just said
the
average NFL team is probably worth $7 billion right now. So that's $1 billion a lot. But that's what? 15%?
That's not going to require the league's approval, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But that's just not. Honestly, I don't see that the league.
I'm not saying it's
as long as Rogers the commissioner. That's for sure.
So it would require some key changes in personnel. Something Poloncarz pointed out to me back at the time, and to anyone who was asking, is you would also need a judge in Erie County to allow the lease to be broken.
It's pretty.
If the commissioner and ownership changes, somebody might want to look at how that all actually plays out. But that's the base level.
You're right. In the context of the teams are worth $7 billion, if you could get it done and it only costs you $1 billion, only $1 billion,
right.
Would you do it? You know, I mean, I guess anything's possible.
I think the community, I only raise it because it's a business.
Right.
Right. And business owners think about things differently than a fan does, right? And it was a responsible thing for Terry to do, given his age. I don't know what his estate plans are. I have no idea. I know, to Jordy's point earlier about the Sabres, if an out-of-town buyer were to come in and buy this team, we'd have to work really hard to convince him to keep it here.
Well, this actually, the conversation we're having about the Sabres is relevant to where, Bill, we were going to go with this ancillary development, quote-unquote, title town around the stadium. And the reason I think both of these discussions are tied together is we also have resources that need to be applied to the arena and what I would call the entertainment district around the arena, Cobblestone, right? Do we focus our resources there both capital as well as time and political, or do we focus our resources on building an entertainment district in Orchard Park? I think you know where I stand on that, yeah, but you know, I'd love to hear from you. Jordy, we'll start with you.
Well, you know, Bill's closer to it than I. Apparently, it sounds like it's a $400 million check. I think you're 100% right, John. I would love to see us leave the stadium where it is. You need a hotel, build a hotel, and put all the development into cobblestone and downtown. Fix the arena downtown, which needs to be fixed.
Sure does.
That's just going to have to happen. And then continue to redevelop downtown. Because we talked about this before the show went on. The downtown is the soul of Western New York. I mean, you can say whatever you want about suburbs, or Clarence is beautiful, Orchard Park is beautiful, Transit Road is retail and all that. The soul. You take your visitors from out of town, you bring them and show them downtown. Sure. That is Buffalo. We've got to invest and make it as strong as possible, because it is what defines us. So I think from my point of view, we should put every dollar that we can into building downtown, building that cobblestone district, making the stadium mm-hmm. work, because the Sabres, when they're good, they're almost as valuable to us as the Bills are. And I know Bill and Eric Reich are very involved in this project and what's trying to happen there. So why don't you elaborate?
I think you're spot on, John. That's where the investment has to be.
Yeah.
You know, you can't move a small population of people from one neighborhood to the next. I mean, if you build out there, they're just going to leave downtown.
Yeah, I would say, and we got to support Elmwood? The downtown. Do we close court. Hurdle? What district do we close if we're moving yeah. people to Orchard Park?
So I absolutely agree. Yeah. And there are some very smart people trying to work to make that happen. You know, we need housing in downtown Buffalo area for the young entrepreneurs, tech-oriented entrepreneurs who make $90,000, $100,000, $120,000, $140,000, who want to walk to work, who want to live in a community. It's not the one percenters. It's young people that we're trying to get to stay here or to want to come here
yeah.
and be a part of a wonderful community. So we're doing everything we can to support Terry and his efforts to make investments down there and to build the market rate housing and to build the retail that young people want to see. We're not talking about 8 games a year. We're talking about 40 games a year, 10 or 15 preseason games, playoff games, you know.
Well, 200 concerts. Events. You could do 200
events.
You could
do 150
in that arena.
Events easily yeah. down there. And you know what? People go to them and they go downtown.
Yeah.
And regardless of what people are telling you, young people want to live downtown. They want to live there. And we're developing jobs and bringing companies to Buffalo that can pay the salaries. It's these tech-oriented companies that can pay the salaries that you need to pay $1,500, $2,000 a month in rent. So, yes, 100% aligned on that's where the investment has to go. It's a state-of-the-art stadium. It's phenomenal. It's going to be great for our team. It's going to be great for our quarterback. My understanding is, takes into consideration some of the adverse weather impacts that the old stadium
great for
couldn't
tailgating.
Address. It's great for tailgating. It's all good, right? Yeah. But as Jordy said, you've got to build a couple of hotels, fine. But if you're going to make big investments, make them down around the arena. Yeah. Because, you know, economically for the Pagulas as well, that has to happen.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up the Sabres are as important as the Bills. I also, as you know, I'm in the hospitality business, and I actually used to work for the Sabres. You know, I think for 8 days a year, 16 days a year, the Bills are a spectacle. But the Sabres are a way of life for us. And I see it in our restaurants, our bar. It just,
yeah, it's unbelievable.
Jordy, it's like you mentioned around the World Cup in Miami before we got on the interview here, just how that helps the local restaurateur, right? It's that unseen kind of economic impact that comes from, in the case of the Sabres, playing 84 games a year.
How many people stood outside of the playoff games?
It was great.
In lousy weather.
It was great, yeah.
I mean, thousands of people.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be downtown.
Every other day.
Right.
For
and then where are they going?
Weeks.
They're not going home. They're going to the restaurants and bars.
Yeah.
That's how you build a vibrant ecosystem, right?
Yeah.
And so.
And did you see the age of most of those fans
yeah,
at those
yeah.
viewing
they're the
parties?
Exact people, they're
young.
They're the exact
young.
People we're talking about.
Yes.
The exact people that we should all be focusing on getting to stay here or to want to come here. They're our future.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to inspire people who are in positions like we are to make that a priority.
Right.
To cultivate right. the next generation of leaders in this community.
But we've seen it happen. And Tim and I talk a lot about these other quote-unquote Rust Belt cities. The transformation of Cleveland, my hometown, Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Detroit. You know, these markets, while maybe slightly bigger than Buffalo, similar demographics, similar infrastructure,
same challenges.
Same challenges.
Not always bigger, though.
Not always bigger.
They didn't used to be bigger, some, right. Many of them. We have a real opportunity with the stadium, you know, because, you know, I'm sitting everywhere I go, and I'm not in Buffalo much, they're talking about the new stadium. Are you going? What? It's put us in the conversation everywhere in the country. It really is.
Yeah.
They're excited about it. And opening game is on, you know, national TV and all that stuff. So now what we need to do is take advantage of that, that people are going to be paying attention. People want to come to the new stadium. A lot of people like just want to see the new stadium, right? They're going to come to Buffalo. What do they say? The first 2 years, you got a lot of momentum. Then the third year is when it settles in. I mean, we're going through that at the Albright now, the AKG Buffalo. Yeah. You know, this is going into their third year. So now the momentum of a new building is now, it doesn't exist anymore. We got to take advantage of these next two seasons.
Yeah.
When people are going to come here, they want to see all the new players, the new teams. They come to town.
I'll tell you, it's doable. Yeah. I can tell you it's doable. Buffalo can do it. And I think we mentioned it before we got started. We have not recovered from COVID. I mean, we're struggling. Downtown is struggling.
It is.
Yeah, we had a lot of momentum before COVID. You know, the work we're doing at 43 North and so many other wonderful organizations.
We lost Douglas, unfortunately.
Yeah, we lost Doug. I mean, like, you know, say what you want about Jamal. I mean, he had the right motivation. He had the right ideas. A lot of it aligned to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, he owns a lot of the land that we're going to need to build on if we're going to build that infrastructure we're talking about. So I think it's important to also point out that I do believe that this community has the potential to actually get it right, to think abundantly, right? And I think COVID was devastating to Buffalo. And I think we're still struggling to come out of it. And we're doing everything we can through our foundation and everything to really kind of stimulate that and redefine how you measure yourself from a momentum perspective. And a lot of the things that we talk about and what motivates us, and Jody's been a tremendous mentor to me, and I feel like I really have to work hard to carry everything that he's done and worked so hard to build here. I don't know. I feel like we've got a real challenge out of us.
You know, as I think about this, as we're talking about this, I don't know in the political climate that exists today that we could have gotten the stadium done in today's political environment in 2021, 22. You know, this movement by the progressive socialists, which it's politics, right? That, you know, rich people are evil and bad. You're going to give Terry Pegula $950 million. What Forbes says he's worth, you know, he should be giving us the money. I don't know that she could get it done today. I don't know that, and I honestly don't. We're lucky the timing was different and it was right, because the political climate today, you know, he wants to do this arena. You know, there's going to be, you know, a massive pushback within her own party. You know, honestly, I don't think they're going to tackle it this year. She's up for re-election. I don't see this happening until that election's over, because giving billionaires money is evil.
There are efforts afoot. And I think, look, at the end of the day, the point I wanted to make was what motivated Jordy and I in the Bills process that we played a role in was exactly what we just said. We're looking at the context of Buffalo from a very, very big picture, and the Bills are a component of it, but they're a component of it, right? Like, there's a lot of things that have to happen to really make Buffalo like Detroit, like Indianapolis, like Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. like Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Didn't revolve around their football team. That was a component of it. So
right.
I think while we wish we'd have dug in a little bit more, you know, at the end of the day, the Bills are here. We got a state-of-the-art stadium.
That's right.
Right? We got a great franchise. We got a great franchise quarterback. Let's focus on the positives. Get that experience to get us to do the right thing around cobblestone and right. building the infrastructure on the city, knowing that we've got obstacles that we didn't create, one being COVID.
Right, right. No, I think, Bill, that's well said, and that's why I've been, when asked, vocal about let's not double down on Orchard Park. We have a state-of-the-art stadium. We have a team for the next 30 years. Jordy, as you said, will be in the spotlight for 2 or 3 years. New people be coming here. Whether you think downtown Orchard Park was a mistake made, that's irrelevant. But let's not compound that by diluting resources to the core and to the soul.
So,
of the
like
city.
You said, it's 16 minutes, you know, without traffic on yep. a game day. So maybe it's 40 minutes. It's still not a lot. You know, yep. come downtown, be downtown, stay downtown, mm-hmm. drive out in the bus to the game. Who cares? You tailgate, it's fun. Everybody does their thing. And then, right. you know, we got to focus on downtown. We got to focus on cobblestone. The fact that, you know, there's a need to fix the arena up is, it, you know, timing couldn't be worse and better. The Sabres are good. If the Sabres were still in the toilet, I'm not sure there'd be such momentum to do something. Now that they're good, people are excited again. So.
Yeah, but also people didn't care about the condition of the arena either when the Sabres were good. They didn't care. You know, the place was packed. Everybody was having a great time. It was rocking. You know, I love what it means for Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I hate the thought of not having that experience. And the only reason we have that experience is because of Terry Pegula.
Yeah.
And that's the fact.
I am going to sneak in one last question. We do have to wrap up, but opening day is coming soon. Are you guys planning to be there?
We'll be there.
I'm flying. My son, who lives in Silicon Valley, is flying in. We're going to the game. I wouldn't miss it.
You're tailgating, I assume, Jordy.
It's a night game. Yeah, yeah, I'll tailgate. Okay. As long as I got somebody to invite me to a tailgate. You know,
we'll be there.
I have to get invited to one. But yeah, no, it's this is so exciting. I mean, I remember, I'm sorry you guys don't, the last stadium opening up, you were too young, Bill, 72. I remember when we opened up what was then Rich Stadium. People didn't get there till halftime. It was a disaster traffic-wise, but I have somewhere the little medal they gave out on every seat, you know, the inaugural game. That stadium was built for, what, $23 million? I think that was the number.
Yeah, it was in the 20s.
I thought it was 23. If that's unbelievable. 23 from 72, that's probably $80 million today. I don't know. But it was not built expensively. It was built into the ground. It was inexpensively built. It was defensive. We had to build something real quick. This is so exciting for this city, and hopefully we all embrace it, and we use it as an opportunity, as Bill just said, to talk about all the positives of Buffalo. We all know what the negatives are, and we are passionate about defending our city everywhere we go. But we need to focus on all the good stuff, and we're going to have all these visitors coming for the next 2 years to see our city. We need to make sure that we have places for them to eat, places for them to drink, places for them to sleep, places for them to shop, and we need to show Buffalo as the city of good neighbors, as it's always been known, as this great place that welcomes people to come here to understand and see how great Buffalo is. We love Buffalo, all of us. People think we're nuts, but they don't know why we love this city. And that's not changing. I don't live here anymore, and I see the passion of expats. And it's unbelievable. I was with somebody yesterday, and he said to me, in New York City, I go to two Bills bars for football games. I'm a Jets fan. There's nothing to watch. The Bills bars in New York City are so much fun. People are so, you better not wear Jets green. I mean, this is in every city. It's unbelievable. I was in Monterey. I was at Pebble Beach, and the Bills had a game on a Sunday, and I found a little bar, Bills bar in Monterey. Who am I sitting next to? Josh Allen's grandmother.
Oh, that's great.
They have a Bills bar in Monterey, and you should see the place. It's all the signs. They got stickers, pen. Right. In Monterey, who the hell would think? And they're like, you say a bad word about Buffalo, and you're going to get beat up. And that's how we are. And now we have to feel that way with the question you just asked as it relates to this new stadium as an opportunity for us to showcase to everyone we all know that's listening to this about how great the city is, and let's make it great. Everyone's got to contribute.
Yeah.
I agree. All great, great decisions sometimes come from failure or, process. You learn from process. And I think what I want to see happen is I want to see this community get behind really establishing a beautiful component of our city in the Cobblestone District. That's really important to me.
Yeah.
And I think Terry's very motivated to do it. He got a stadium in Orchard Park, albeit it costs more. That was outside the scope of his control, and let's get it right.
Yeah, we're blessed with fresh water and great lakes and an arena right there. I mean, wow. I mean,
Four seasons.
You know,
we're an hour and a half from probably the most prolific North American city in Toronto. Yeah. I mean, like, we got a lot of things stacked up in our favor. Absolutely. Let's start exploiting them and stop talking about all the bad.
On that note, it's a great place to leave it. Bill Maggio, Jordan Levy, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That's it for this episode of Skin in the Game. Skin in the Game is a production of Buffalo Toronto Public Media. You can listen to all our episodes at btpm.org or on the Buffalo Toronto Public Media YouTube channel. Thanks for listening.